fighting for America.
Muhammad shows up in a place like Tampico, Mexico, and for $1,500 he gets Mexican identity documents. And so Muhammad becomes Manuel.
Fighting for Idaho.
People think Netanyahu is like Ronald Reagan or Ted Cruz. As far as Israeli politics go, he is not the Ronald Reagan or Ted Cruz of Israeli politics. He's more like the Jeb Bush.
Fighting for you.
Hopefully the younger generation's paying attention and wake up and don't vote for a political party. Vote for the person and what they really, really, really are.
Boise's Mr. Right.
I think she's a new addition to the Miller Militia.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning, once again joined by our friend Heidi Harris of Las Vegas, multimedia personality, author, Heidiology, HeidiHarrisShow.com, television star, radio personality, Ed Schultz's favorite conservative, from what I hear. Good morning, ma'am.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, I just did Ed Schultz's show a couple of weeks ago. That was tons of fun. I hadn't been on in a while, but yeah, you know what? He's always been nice to me. I think the problem that Ed Schultz has with me, and even Chris Matthews, is that I'm not a reliable right-wing wacko. In other words, I think I'm pretty sensible, so I don't always drink the Kool-Aid like they want me to. Not that they ever ask me to take an opinion. They never do. But they want somebody who is a caricature, and I don't really provide that for them.
Well, but it's always good to have that intellectual sparring back and forth.
Oh, yeah. I much prefer MSNBC to Fox. I've been on Fox a bunch of times and O'Reilly and things like that, O'Reilly once, but I much prefer MSNBC because it's more interesting. I don't want to sit there like a bobblehead and go, I'd rather go, put him up.
One thing that I admire about you is your can-do optimism. Is it still possible to make it in America today?
I think it is. I think that you have to be a little bit more nimble than ever before. If there are obviously, you know, things have changed in the last 5 years, right? I was talking to a friend of mine about that the other day, that things have changed more in the last 5 years in some ways than in the last 25. I'm not talking about technology, about jobs. It used to be that if you wanted a job, you could walk into a building and you didn't have a ring in your nose or 45 visible tattoos and you might actually get hired. You'd have a leg up on everybody else just by showing up in a business suit or something. And nowadays with online applications, you never ever get to make that first impression. You never even get to meet a human being. And it's very depressing. And I know people going through that right now with the job hunt. And even that has changed drastically in the last 2 years.
Well, and when we take a look at the student loan debt of the millennials, when we take a look at our own country's debt, you just wonder, and the loss of manufacturing and blue-collar jobs that we've seen in our lifetime, Heidi, you just wonder, where are people going to work? I mean, is it possible just to, you know, click and shoot, all day at a desk and make a decent living at it?
It's difficult, and some of the jobs that, you know, Mike Rowe, as you know from Dirty Jobs, has been traveling the country talking about these manufacturing jobs and these skilled craftsmen that we don't seem to have as many of anymore. A couple of years ago when I was working in Los Angeles, I got to tour the factory that is owned by Tony Maglica. You've heard of the Maglite, right? Everybody has.
Yeah.
Tony Maglica created the Maglite out of nothing, was born in America, then moved to Croatia at the age of 2, came back to America at the age of 18, speaking no English, built everything from the ground up. And he's one of those guys who's a real American when it comes to, you know, you didn't build this, Obama. And he walked me around his factory, and there were parts of it he'd point to and he'd say, see all those machines? I can't find the people to run those machines. Because we want to push everybody into college, and that's me editorializing that part, but we want to push everybody into college like everybody's supposed to be a math professor or majoring in women's studies, when the reality is there are a whole lot of people who could be skilled craftsmen, enjoy that job, and probably have less fluctuation in their ability to make a living.
Well, it's the challenge. You know, where have all the good machinists gone? And on the other hand, you have Chrysler, Ford, and GM, big, big automakers, steel companies and the like, have moved overseas. So, you know, we've gone through that flux where, well, you know, you got to have a college degree, you've got to have a liberal arts education, which is great, but you know, now we've seen it kind of reverting back, as you've pointed out, where a technical skill like a machinist, a machine shop steward, is in demand and should be.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think we've lied to our children. A lot of them go to college and they get, we'll just pick a number. Let's say they get $50,000 in debt, and they go to school and they get a degree that may or may not actually help them in the job market. They're pushed into college and they go, they become, you know, English lit majors or women's studies or something like that, and they get out of college and they can't get a job. And after the parents have spent all this money, or they've spent all the money, then they're in debt, then they're depressed. And a lot of studies have shown that for many people, they would have been better off just working during those years and working up the corporate ladder and educating themselves outside of actual college because of the debt load, and they would have been fine. Now, I'm not putting down a college degree. No one can ever take that away from you. I think it's important to have for certain people. But if you're $200,000 in debt for a liberal arts degree that's not going to get you a job, you know, or a job at a bookstore because you're an English lit major, is that really worth the cost? See, for example, if you go to a private school that teaches, for example, cooking, right? You want to learn how to be a French chef. I'm just going to pick a number because I don't know how much it costs. Let's say that that school costs $30,000 to go. When you get out of that school, you're going to actually have a job and have a skill, and you're going to be able to go to restaurants and make X number of dollars. When you go to college, there's no spreadsheet that says if you spend $100,000 here, you're going to make exponentially more money in this particular field. That may not be true. You get a degree in biology. Okay, what are you going to do? Go work at the dolphin exhibit somewhere? How many people can do that? How many of the people who graduate who want to work with dolphins, how many can actually make a living? That's the question these kids have to ask themselves before they pursue these college degrees.
580-KIDO, Heidi Harris with us as we move along. How can people get a hold of you, by the way?
HeidiHarris.com. How's that for simple?
I like that, HeidiHarris.com. Now, this is a problem that's going to plague these kids for quite some time. This massive student loan debt. You have people in their 60s that are still dealing with student loan debt, and they're still trying to pay off their mortgages. You know, the president saying, I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to give the first 2 years of college away. I mean, this is a big looming problem for this huge age cohort known as the millennials coming up.
Well, what it basically is, as far as getting college away to kids, is trying to just put butts in the seats. That's what it all comes down to. A lot of these kids have no business being there. We have a thing started by one of our former Republican governors here in Nevada called the Millennium Scholarship. We had tobacco money to start it with temporarily, but that wasn't something that was going to be able to be perpetuated. And most of these kids, 42% of the kids who take this Millennium Scholarship, have to use the money for remedial classes. These aren't college students. These are remedial classes. And I have friends who teach college. They say it's embarrassing, but the kids are going because it's a free ride. And they're taking chair space from somebody who might actually be better served by going to college. So when you make it free, or practically free, you're just going to have more people doing it who maybe shouldn't go there. You should be able to invest your own money in going to college. Like, for example, if you're a musician, you've got to buy your own guitars, your own keyboards, your own amps, all those things that you need to do to be able to pursue your craft. You're investing in yourself. Why should government? Government's not giving people free musical equipment to start a band. So why are we giving these kids free college education?
Well, and you don't value it if you don't earn it. And then, you know, this has been happening for many, many years. You've documented on your various shows, whether it's in Los Angeles or Las Vegas or on national television, Heidi, that we forget about out-of-state tuition or in-state tuition. We're giving it to the illegals.
Well, that's exactly right. And, you know, listen, I don't have a perfect solution for a kid who was brought here at the age of four and who's only known America. I don't have a perfect solution. But the bottom line is, if you're not legally here, you're the last person who should be getting any kind of, certainly any free stuff, and you should be the last person who should get into our college. If you're stuck in limbo, I don't have a problem with you going to college, but I don't want to pay for it, and I don't want you getting first dibs on the seats in the classes, because when I went to college, you probably went through the same thing. The first semester, first couple of weeks, it's jammed. A lot of times you can't get into a class. So what I would do is I would go and I would sit in the classroom every single day if I really wanted that particular class. And then as people started to drop out, as attrition occurred, which it always does, then I would go to the teacher and say, can I take this class? And because I've been caught up since day one, then I would get to stay. But why should a classroom, why should your kid be denied a spot in that class that they need, which could potentially take longer for them to get their degree because they can't get that class? Why should anybody who's illegally here be able to take up that chair space? That should never happen.
But then again, they say, well, you know, people, America's a nation of immigrants. America, you know, no one has a right to be an American. Why not do this? Why not help everybody else? But as you point out, it hurts the folks that are here, that are citizens, that are native-born, because the opportunities just aren't as plentiful as they once were.
Well, that's true. And then when they put out the DREAM Act, as you know, some of the parts of the Dream Act included if you'd be able to stay if you were going to college, right? Or you'd be able to stay if you were in the military. Well, what if your kid wasn't very bright, and what if your kid wasn't healthy enough to go in the military? Now what? What happens with that kid? No one can ever answer that question, can they?
No, they can't. HeidiHarrisShow.com. Heidi Harris with us. HeidiHarris.com. You know, you're always on me to create more of a social media presence. How has that changed the game as far as how you communicate with your audience in Las Vegas?
You know what? It's been huge for me because when you go to my website, I've got my Facebook page on there, my Twitter, and I post show audio and things like that because people can't always hear every minute of your show. I enjoy being able to do that because my objective is kind of very similar to yours. I like to connect with my audience. I'm not just there to rattle on and not care what you think. So I enjoy the Facebook and the Twitter and the interaction with people. And when I left town, I left Vegas a few years back to go to L.A. to do radio for a year and then came back, that was a great way for me to stay connected with my local audience who said, where the heck did she go? It's amazing how many people won't Google search your name when they, where'd Kevin Miller go? How about Google, buddy? You know? So they won't take the time, but with a Facebook page, it helped me to keep connected with them and post local stories about Vegas even when I was working in L.A. and vice versa. And so I think it's important now that your audience feels as if you care about them and you want to hear from them, whether it's online or phone calls or whatever.
You talk about culture quite a bit. Why is it so important to you?
Well, because I'm a Christian and I feel as if they're taking my ground. I don't think there's a neutral position in the culture war. I wish there were, but there isn't. And if you just sit there, they're going to come across your lawn. And you look at some of the things that are happening now, people who are forced to accommodate somebody else. You know, nobody is running outside of a bakery waving a, what is that thing called that you roll the dough with?
Yes, exactly. The pin or something, yes.
Yeah, that rolling pin, right. Nobody's running down the street after a gay couple with a rolling pin threatening to hit them over the head because they're gay. But you come into the shop as a gay couple, and you can demand that the person make you a cake with two men or two women on it. I mean, come on, where's the neutral ground? The neutral ground is, come on in, I'll feed you cupcakes, but I'm not making a wedding cake. But that was what we're losing very quickly.
Yeah, it is. Well, you just take a look at entertainment that you know quite a lot about, whether it's television or music or anything else, and we have reversed our cultural perspective. You know, I'm watching some of these shows, and people are fighting for gay rights and equating those to civil rights. And if you're a Republican, if you're a Christian, you're a hypocrite, you're a bad person. And you see how that conditions young or not so young impressionable minds, Heidi, that lack critical thinking skills.
Well, that's true. There was an article, an op-ed in the L.A. Times, you may have seen it, written by somebody who works for a major gay organization. And she basically was answering the question a lot of people ask, well, is it over now that gay marriage is legal in most states? Because I believe the Supreme Court will make it legal because I think that the horse is so far out of the barn that what are they going to do now, rescind the marriages in over 30 states? I think they'll just cave and they'll make it legal. And she was talking in this op-ed about, well, you know, is the fight over? And she said, no, because we, you know, total acceptance is still out of reach. Well, nobody's entitled to total acceptance. You know, for example, if you look at an interracial couple, I don't care what color anybody is. I don't care who anybody dates, who anybody marries, whatever, what color, your choice. But there are still plenty of people in America, you walk down the street as an interracial couple, they will give you a dirty look, or at the very least in their mind, they don't like it, even though they can't legally discriminate against you. Nobody can say you can't come into my restaurant, you can't stay at my motel if you're a black and white couple, whatever. You're not allowed to do that, but you can't change people's hearts through legislation. And the folks on the side who are gay, the gay agenda, so to speak, and this isn't everybody, but this is the activists, they want us to be able to accept it. But the problem is, those of us who object, I got to be honest, I don't care who anybody sleeps with. I have never cared. If you're an adult, that's what you want to do, as long as everybody's consenting, an adult. It doesn't matter to me. But my only problem with it is the same problem I have with adultery and a lot of other things that the Bible's very clear on. It's not biblical. Now, I'm not running around hitting you over the head with my Bible, but don't tell me that it's okay. It's not okay. That's what my Bible says. My Bible says otherwise. So if you want to ignore the Bible, go ahead, but don't try to tell me that I don't have a right to believe something. Don't try to tell a person who's a vegan that they don't have a right to not eat a cheeseburger. I mean, I know it's a little bit different, but not really. Because if that's your belief that animals should not be eaten or whatever your belief is, no one has the right to tell you you can't believe that.
Heidi Harris with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Remember, 580KIDO.com. You can follow me on Twitter, @Kevin.
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Heidi Harris with us, HeidiHarris.com. Let's talk about a story that you've touched on, you've owned. We've kind of sparked it a little, and I have to say, Heidi, I'm a sissy in this PC world, so I can pretty much just ask you the questions that I used to be able to talk about. This whole idea involving Planet Fitness, transgendered men going into women's bathrooms. We actually have that situation here in Idaho, which we'll get to, but here you have a woman complaining, and then Planet Fitness, instead of backing up the woman who was born a woman, throws her out for not being tolerant.
Well, yeah, and then, of course, Planet Fitness says they have a non-judgment policy. You have a non-judgment policy, really? Then why is everybody walking around in skin-tight clothes so they can all judge each other? Please. Yeah, her butt's better than mine. You know, his body's better than mine. Whatever. Come on. I have a great solution, though, the next time you're in a bathroom somewhere and you can't decide whether it's a girl or a guy in the next stall. This is very simple, Kevin, because as I understand it, in the men's room, there's no conversation, right?
Right.
Okay, nobody talks. Women talk in the bathroom. Ask your wife this. From the time we walk in to the time we wash our hands,
we are
decking. In the stall, out of the stall. Can you believe what she was wearing? Boy, that guy was such a jerk. The entire time we're chatting, okay? So if you're a female and you're in the restroom someplace and you're not sure who's next to you because you can see their size 14 feet, all you have to do is start a conversation.
Right.
And if they won't talk back, I'm going to go with that's a man. Just saying.
Wow. I don't understand. I don't understand this case. You know, in Idaho, we have this movement to add the words, and part of it is to the Idaho Civil Rights Act. And it was brought out by a lot of pro-family groups that, you know, there was a section it calling, you know, public facilities, and that would be bathrooms. And in the state capitol, you had a woman during the hearing saying, yeah, there was a transgendered male next to me. The former Boise police chief, liberal as he was, went and testified in his uniform that he would investigate these things. But the city here actually has one of these ordinances. So this happens in the city of Boise all the time.
So strange. Why don't they just, people like Planet Fitness or whatever, why don't they just create a bathroom that's a he-she thing, whatever. Okay, you have a women's room, women's locker room, men's locker room, and then something for whatever. Cause, for example, I try to go to the public pool pretty often and swim when it's too cold to swim outside.
Right.
And so there's a sign, there's a women's locker room and a men's locker room, period. Nothing in between. And there's a sign, like there is in most locker rooms, that says, no children, opposite sex children over the age of 6. Okay, so if dad takes his little girl swimming and she's 9, she's not allowed to go in the men's locker room. That makes sense to me. But why not just have a trans one if you want to? We don't know what you are and your question, you know, we'll make it Q, questioning. We don't know if you're post, pre, op, whatever you are. I shouldn't have to guess. See, that's the big issue. When people are trans, and I'm not sure what that even means. I honestly don't know. If you're Bruce Jenner and Chris is taking your parts off and you decide you're now a woman, I don't know what the deal is. But I'm not supposed to have to try to understand people who are odd. It's weird. Most people don't understand what it's like to be trapped in another body. So why does the world have to totally adjust to you and make accommodations to you? They shouldn't have to. That's a teeny, tiny percentage of the population. And people are going to wonder if you don't look totally like a woman or totally like a man. You know, even if you feel like you're trapped, you could go out the door dressed a little more normal so you don't attract all that attention. But clearly you want to. You're walking around with high heels on your size 14 and a big Adam's apple. Come on, people are going to look at you weird. What am I supposed to do about that?
Well, from a religious Christian perspective, I wouldn't be comfortable enough rewriting or redoing what God intended me to be.
Well, yeah, I don't get it. I really don't. And by the way, there have been studies done that a lot of these people within a couple of years, I'm talking about the ones who have things removed or added, being very, you know, delicate here for the morning show.
We appreciate
but
it.
But those
Thanks.
People, people who've had surgery, the reassignment surgery, statistics have shown, and there was a great editorial written a couple of years ago by a doctor who used to do those surgeries, most people within 5 years regret what they've done. Interesting, huh?
Hey, let me hit you with this one, though. You mentioned Bruce Jenner, and I thought, I couldn't believe this, but spiritually, from a point of perspective, Heidi, is it hubris? Is it something? Here's a guy, you know, we talked about him at 580KIDO, but you remember back in the day, I mean, the cover of Wheaties, he was the America's male athlete. Everybody wanted to be Bruce Jenner. He was an all-American guy. And in his 60s, I guess his 60s, he's decided to totally transform himself. I mean, you've lived your life this long as a male. I don't know what the Kardashians did to you, but why would you feel so compelled to do something like this so late in life?
Yeah, nothing's more emasculating than living with Kris Jenner. Well, the good news is, if he goes to prison for that car accident in California, at least the state of California will pick up the cost of his surgery, right? No.
Right, well, they're Bradley Manning or Chelsea Manning or Chelsea Manning. I mean,
right.
That's ridiculous.
It is. I think he's just troubled. I mean, he's clearly a troubled person, and I think that people need to have more psychological counseling in a situation like that. And I'm not saying that everybody feels that way, because I don't understand what it's like to feel as if I've always wanted to be a man or a woman, whatever. But Bruce Jenner clearly has some major, major issues. And I think that doing what he's doing, I don't see how that's the answer when he seemed to live life very happily as a man for decades. I don't get this. I think this is just some kind of a cry for help for some other reason. And I wish the guy well. I mean, I don't wish him ill. But it's just sad, and
now,
I don't know that
right. Or
you know,
he's in transition. I don't know
what
your term.
What does that mean? Half the parts are gone. I don't know what that means either.
Exactly, and you know, we're not trying to be flippant here. You know, is he, you know, a guy? Is he a gal? Is he in transition? You know, back to your restroom thing. I mean, why don't they just create another section like other? You know, men, women, other.
Yeah, I but you know what's interesting? I don't know that the trans folks would want that. Because they want to force it down your throat. They want you to accept them being different. I think that if you had three bathrooms at Planet Fitness or any place else, that the trans would complain and say that they're once again being marginalized or segregated, or we want to be accepted. Their goal is to force you to accept what they're doing. And a question I always have for people like that is, if you're so comfortable with what you're doing, why do you have to have other people accept it? I don't run around trying to force my beliefs down people's throats, religious, spiritual. I mean, on the air, I talk about things. But if you disagree, I'm not shook up about it. And there are folks who want to force you to agree with what they're thinking. And my belief is, if you're so comfortable with it, why do you constantly need that affirmation from everybody else? Why does it bother you if everyone doesn't embrace it?
More coming up with our great friend Heidi Harris from Las Vegas. HeidiHarris.com. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. Heidi Harris with us, Las Vegas talk show host, multimedia personality, HeidiHarris.com. You want to talk about some of the marketing that you're doing besides being a barometer of the community down there in Vegas?
Well, I don't know about that, but I just try to keep people honest, keep politicians honest. That it was just obviously a full time job, and I just try to keep in touch with people through social media. And I have a little newsletter that I've been trying to send out now more often, and that kind of thing. So I try to do what I can.
What's that like? I mean, who's more honest, Harry Reid or the mobsters?
Oh, please. I'd give my house key to – I have a friend that was – he is a friend. So a former mobster and a murderer. I'd give him my house key before I'd give it to Harry Reid. That's a dream. And I love these people who are so self-righteous about it. Oh, Harry Reid, you know, mobsters. Really? I mean, what's the difference? It reminds me of that line in The Godfather when she said, well, yeah, but senators don't have people killed. Who's being naive now? I'm not saying Harry Reid did that. I'm just making the point that if you think that mobsters are the only people who are corrupt, right, you got another thing coming.
One of my favorite topics that I love to talk with you about is the sister wives, and it kind of getting back to how we've been focusing this hour here at 580 KIDO on culture. And now that we have the Supreme Court, that apparently the fix is in. And by the way, thanks to that one circuit that decided, no, we're not going to rubber stamp this. We're going to force you to make a decision. We're going to force you to actually say that same-sex marriage is the law. But what's next? Probably polygamy, and heck, we have TLC, not with one, but two major shows concerning, you know, promoting polygamy, Heidi. So back to our friend, the sister wives and Corey and the crew there. I understand that you recently were near those guys.
Yes, I happened to go to a show in Vegas, and they were there, one of the wives. The one, I think he's only married, legally married to one. And I guess he recently divorced her and recently legally married the last one. I don't know. But he was there with one of the wives, and I was like 2 feet away from him at one point. And it's interesting. I never would have said anything rude to him. That's when I'm talking about tolerance. You know, there are people who will go out and protest a certain actor because they dare to take a stand against gay marriage or for guns or whatever. They'll protest. They'll get in their face. I would never have been rude to Cody Brown. I think the whole situation is screwy. I think it's psychologically damaging to all of them and their children. I have a friend who's actually friends with them, knows them very well. And, you know, since they're very nice people, that's fine and dandy. But they're trying to normalize something that's not normal. And one of the frustrations I've had with our local newspaper is they've run stories about them, and they call them wives. They're not his wives. They're baby mamas. One of them is legally his wife. The rest of them are not. And if this guy was a rapper, nobody would have a problem calling him baby mamas. But because he's a white guy, they're not. They are. They're not his wife. And the press identified them as his wife, and that is wrong. It's not even my opinion. That's legally incorrect. And that's the kind of stuff that makes you nuts when you and I talk about the media and there being no neutral position. They're mischaracterizing something because they want it to fit their narrative, and that's not okay.
Well, then you have a major network owned by Comcast and NBC, a publicly traded company, that is promoting lawbreaking and galvanizing and elevating these folks, so much so that they're suing Utah. They're on the run, yet they have a major television show. And at the season finale, and the reason why this is important, and Heidi, you know this because you battle this all the time, is entertainment is used for not to be entertaining anymore, but indoctrination. You look at The Amazing Race. You've got not one gay couple. You've got two, one from the New Kids on the Block, and we're treated to male kissing men back and forth on a one-time, a family-friendly show. But here you have these folks that at the season finale was a divorce, and then so he could legally marry his last wife.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible. And the point that I've made, and I know you probably made the same point, is that if marriage doesn't mean one thing, it can mean anything. And I know there are folks, and I have listeners who are gay, who are legally married in some other states and even in Nevada, who will say to me, well, that's not true. You know, it is true. If it doesn't mean just between a man and a woman, there's no way that you can argue that three people can't be married. You cannot. Because when you look at the arguments that were made in the Ninth Circuit about gay marriage, of course, a lot of the arguments made from my side were pretty darn lame. But when you look at the reasons to allow people to be married, basically things like you should be able to love who you want to love, that kind of thing. Why can't I love four people? Who's going to stop me? What legal precedent is there to say if two men can get married because they love each other, whatever, why can't three people? There's no reason to stop it. And I remember years ago, probably 10, 12 years ago, interviewing a gay activist on the air who was talking about civil unions. And he said, well, you know, we want civil unions. We don't want gay marriage. We want civil unions. And I said, well, is your partner on your bank account? Is your partner on your house? Well, no. I said, why not? That's perfectly legal right this minute. You don't need civil unions for that. But he sat there and swore to me up and down he didn't want gay marriage. Of course they did. And so the people like Cory Brown, and by the way, Cory Brown and his clan have defended polygamy. They've made the point that I've made after I was making it. I've seen them quoted as saying, oh, yeah, they have no problem with that. Why would they?
And that's where it comes down to the lack of critical thinking skills, where vehicles of entertainment are being used to rewrite culturally the norms of our society. You know, again, you go back to The Amazing Race, you go back to House of Cards, and everything is, oh, well, we've, you know, the biggest injustice in season three of the House of Cards is a gay activist arrested by the Russians, and the Russians all know it's wrong, but it's the number one crime. And, you know, I was watching with someone, and they go, and they're a lot more progressive than I am, and they go, what is it, just entirely the season of acceptance, I suppose, or promotion? And we see culturally, Heidi, why public opinion has changed when you have entertainment companies having a vested interest in rewriting cultural norms.
Well, that's what they want to do. You know, years ago, you could have movies without graphic sex scenes. I mean, ask any woman, the best Hollywood sex scene ever is when Rhett Butler grabbed Scarlett and headed up the stairs. Ask any woman, that's what they'll tell you. Because that's psychological more than anything else. And all of a sudden now there are sex scenes thrown into movies. You know, sometimes after the movie's already been made, they go throw something in there. And there's really no need for it. And now pretty much every sitcom you see has got to throw some gay couple in there as if that's the norm. But like I said, my local paper, there are two of them. There's one that's kind of an insert and a waste of time. And then there's a bigger one. They normalize it all the time. Every time they get a chance to promote a gay relationship, even before gay marriage was legal, they were doing it all the time. They're pushing an agenda, and they're trying to make everything normal.
HeidiHarris.com with us here. Heidi Harris, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Now, we take a look at the last couple years of the administration, and we see Congress at a standstill. We see the president emboldened, his recent comments about Ferguson. You have a different take from an orthodox talk show on politics. How do you see the next 2 years impacting lives of people in Idaho and in Nevada? Does it really matter what happens?
Well, I don't know how much is going to happen because right now, as you mentioned, we have a Congress that's not getting a lot done, but I kind of like that. I mean, that's the way our founders set it up. So you don't get too much of what you want. I don't get too much of what I want. That's the way it's supposed to be. So although folks lament a do-nothing Congress, usually the people who are lamenting it are the people who aren't getting what they want. If, you know, Harry Reid, they can't get anything done. Yeah, but if you had the majority, you'd be cramming things down our throat left and right and championing the fact that things were getting done. So I don't have a problem with it working the way it is right now. I know President Obama is doing some things that he shouldn't be doing, obviously. And the sad thing is you got so many people in America who are so focused on Hillary Clinton's emails. Like, that's the biggest deal. Not that it's not important, not that she's not a crook, not that she didn't do something wrong, but the problem is the voters who love her don't care. That's the thing. The right wing cares. People in the Beltway care. But the average Hillary voter, believe me, if you didn't care about Benghazi, you sure as heck aren't going to care about her email. So we've got to make sure that we don't take our eye off the ball and what the voters actually care about it, and it's not her email.
More coming up with our great friend Heidi Harris. Remember, you can reach out to her at HeidiHarris.com. Coming up next, we'll talk a little bit about the 2016 candidates. Can anybody stop Hillary Clinton? Maybe there's another Barack Obama out there. We'll find out next. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time at 580KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO. Idaho's first radio station.
580KIDO, Heidi Harris with us. Kevin Miller in the morning at 580KIDO. I guess we can say that a million times. Heidi, let's talk about 2016. Does anybody really excite you from the Republican perspective, the Republican Party?
Not really. I was at an event in Vegas a couple of weeks ago. I guess it was a week or so. Jeb Bush was in town, and he got up and spoke to a bunch of seniors. And, you know, the problem is he seems like a nice guy, like to have him over for dinner, and that's all great and fine. He did some good things for Florida. But, you know, to me, it's just like Bush, another Bush warmed over. I mean, what's the point at this point? Not saying anything different. Romney's out, which he should be, because Romney's already had his chance. So I think the only person I can imagine on the right, if you want to call it the right, who could possibly have a chance with the independents and the left might be someone like Rand Paul. Now, he wouldn't be my first choice. I understand that. It probably isn't for a lot of conservatives. But you have to look. I'm a Rick Santorum conservative. That's my kind of guy, all right? He understands things. I agree with him spiritually, socially. He gets it about Iran. I love Rick Santorum. Interviewed him a bunch of times. Like him a lot. He's not going to be elected president because there are too many people in this country who are too far to the left, or the independents who will believe the people on the left that Rick's trying to shove the Bible down their throat, which, of course, he's not. So I'm trying to think practically, and I think Rand Paul appeals to a lot of younger people. Remember, Mitt Romney didn't win because the conservatives didn't like him that much. And that may be true of Rand Paul also. But if you can't get independents onto your side of the ticket, you got no prayer.
You know, Heidi, it's a challenge, though, because you're right. Whether it was McCain, whether it was Romney, the Republicans are saying we need someone who's going to get us the swing votes, the independents. But if Romney had carried the base along with these swing votes, it would have been a different result.
Absolutely. That's the whole point. And he didn't. Nobody got excited about him. I voted for him. I held my nose and voted for him. I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think that I don't know what his core values are. Nice person. I've interviewed him. His family. Nice guy. But, you know, I want somebody. First of all, I don't put my trust in politicians. Can we start with that? And the right is just as guilty, by the way, as the left when it comes to that. Because a lot of folks on the right will accuse left-leaners of putting their trust in government, right? We want government to take care of us, and you put your trust in them. Well, I got news for you. If you're a right-leaner and you think, oh, we can just take back the White House, the nation will be saved. What are you doing? You're putting your trust in government, too. Just
right.
A different person, but government. It's the same thing.
On the left, can anybody derail Hillary from getting the nomination?
Maybe Warren. I don't know. I mean, I think Hillary's getting buffeted around a lot, and I don't know that the voters necessarily will care about the emails, but I think that if her donors or people like that think she's too damaged, then they might discourage her from running, and they might start pushing Elizabeth Warren behind the scenes. Isn't she amazing? I mean, this woman's come from out of nowhere, and they're talking about her being the president. I mean, it's pretty scary, but I think that's a person who could possibly take a shot. But there may be other Democrats who would run against Hillary, but they're going to wait until she's very, very weak, because the same reason Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney aren't both running. Mitt Romney went to all these people and they said, we're not going to back you. And they have nice, quiet conversations, and that's the end of it. So unless somebody on the left could have those conversations and be assured that those folks wouldn't back Hillary, I don't think anybody on the left is really going to stick their head. Biden might, but I don't think he's got a shot against Hillary.
Well, you know, the Clintons have a love-hate relationship with their own party and the media, and just the attention that she's getting, it was just strange looking at the old crew, James Carville, Paul Begala. I don't know about you, but to me it was like 1994 or 5 all over again. What's next, Newt Gingrich?
Yeah, it's like the zombie movie, right? They keep embalming these people and dragging them out. Yeah, you've got to get some new faces. That's the whole problem. You don't want another old white guy running for president, especially if they're not saying anything new. And you don't want another, you know, old white person on the left running if they're not saying anything new. You've got to be able to address people in a way that they're going to relate. And Hillary Clinton, I don't know what her appeal is, because, and it's not because she's a Democrat. I get some Democrats' appeal, but she just is not a likable person. And she's not relatable. I mean, this is a woman who's lived in privilege for a very, very long time, put up with a lot of garbage from her husband. And I don't know that she can relate to a lot of, certainly can't relate to my life or yours. And I don't know why people on the left would expect her to do anything for them. I can't get it.
Heidi, we always appreciate it. Stay out of trouble. HeidiHarris.com. Thank you for your time, ma'am.
Always great to talk to you.
Have a great day at work. God bless and keep the faith, everyone.